This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
How do I...
Up a stick to the end boards. Marchand attacks. Shoots. He scores! McAvoy has Marchand. Chris crosses with Zaka. Feathers the pass to Marchand. He scores! Boston 3-1 with 41 ticks left on the clock.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Welcome into Mego and Shime here on a Saturday morning, and the music may be depressing, but at least there's sunshine outside. Mego, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing, Shime?
I'm good. I'm much better than a lot of people. I know a lot of people are very upset that Brad Marchand, now no longer a member of your Boston Bruins, he was dealt yesterday right at the deadline, right at the gun. He was sent to the Florida Panthers for a second-round pick, conditional first-round pick. And I got to tell you, I was very hesitant to believe the Bruins would do anything, especially trade their captain and Brad Marchand, when guys like Razor were on this station saying, there's no way you trade Marchand. Even Milbury, I'm pretty sure, on our show said, yeah, I don't think you trade your captain. And yet, here we stand, Saturday, March, what is it, the
7th. 8th?
The 8th, yesterday was the 7th.
Oh, man.
Saturday, March 8th.
The 8th.
And Brad Marchand is now a Florida Panther. He is on the rat squad with Matthew Tkachuk. Mego, how are you feeling this morning about the Brad Marchand trade?
I think it's the right move. I think it shows a little bit of guts from the Bruins. I know it probably hurts to a lot of fans, but this is how I describe it. Like, you had a wiggly baby tooth, and you finally had to tie a string around that and slam the door.
Yank it.
You had to. Like, it's painful, but the writing was on the wall, I really think, since the Four Nations tournament when McAvoy got hurt, that this team was really not going anywhere. And kudos to Brad Marchand and this Bruins team the last couple of seasons for making it really difficult to have a sale like they had, the fire sale at the trade deadline,
yeah.
Because they kept being in it. They kept having these really hot starts to the season and making it look like, hey, you got to find some way to at least try to invest or remain status quo with the team. That became not the case over the last month or so. And you're looking at Brad Marchand, who couldn't reach an extension with the Bruins. He was on an expiring contract. He's 37 years old. He's injured. Mm-hmm. We don't really know to what extent.
Sweeney said it could be anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks, the injury.
And that's what Sweeney's saying now.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But I think it's the right move. What matters to me now is what they're able to do and who is able to execute the draft going forward, what they're able to do in this offseason. I'm sorry, the rest of the Bruins season is a total wash. Mm-hmm. They basically got four guys that they're going to be building around going forward. And so this is the right first move, as painful as it is, and with Coyle and Carlo as well, and getting some kind of interesting returns, at least from Toronto. It's all the right moves. It's just, yeah, it's a bummer in real time. And are they going to be able to execute the next step, which is actually far more important?
Yeah, I'm with you. It is absolutely 100% the right move. I thought before the deadline, like, this is the move you had to make. I'm very unhappy with the return. I don't think it's confusing to me that you were able to fleece Toronto for a first and Fraser Minton, who, by all accounts, seems to be like Toronto's top prospect and a guy that the Bruins are going to love the way he plays. And at minimum, it feels like he's a bottom six forward for you, at least for a little while going forward, as a 20-something-year-old, a young 20-something-year-old. And so I'm like, oh, wow, that's a great return for Brandon Carlo. I can't wait to see what you get for Brad Marchand. And it was an hour or so after the deadline, Bucci, I think, was the first person to have it, saying that it was a second-round pick, conditional first-round pick. And I go, there has to be something more. There has to be prospects. There has to be a third team picking up salary, something. There has to be something else. And yet, there wasn't. The Bruins are retaining 50% of Brad's salary for the season. Granted, it's an expiring contract, so it's going to be gone at the end of the year anyways. But they're retaining 50% of the contract, and they only got a second-round pick. I heard Scott McLaughlin was on with the afternoon show, and then he was on again with Arcand last night. And his opinion was that, like, maybe Brad Marchand is just more injured than anybody thinks. And that's why, and that's the condition there in that pick, is that Florida has to win the first two rounds of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, mm-hmm. and he has to play in 25% of those games.
Which, to be clear, do you think Florida will do that?
I think they could. I think they should, probably.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they're going to do that.
Yeah,
so
they
should. So I think the return is going to hopefully be on the upside rather than the flip side of that.
Agreed.
But I think you're right to look at the Carlo return and have had your hopes up. The difference is, quite frankly, that Carlo had so many years left on his contract. He had
control. That was
over two seasons left. Yeah, he had control. He's 9 years younger than Brad Marchand. He is not, nor probably will ever be, the level of player that Marchand was
Even close.
But again, I do think there's this tendency of people to think about Marchand, who he was 2018 to 2019. Mm-hmm. And just continue thinking, hey, that's a guy who's just kind of somewhere in his 30s and he's scoring 36 goals during the regular season. And now he's captain and he's matured past the licking people era and all this stuff. That's just not who he is at this point. And I'm sure the injury plays into it more than any of us who are not behind the scenes really know.
Yeah, it probably does. But I also look at it too. And then, I mean, the return you got for Trent Frederick and Max Jones, a third liner and a guy who barely plays, was a second and a fourth round pick. You got almost the same. If the Panthers get bounced in the first or second round, you got the same return for Trent Frederick and Max Jones as you did for Brad Marchand.
So I think the other side of this that we'll probably hear more about as time goes on, and I'm curious to hear about, is what Brad Marchand's agency in this was. Because I was doing Boston Sports Tonight with DJ Bean,
yep,
of the Wet Chaos podcast last night. And God bless him.
Yeah, 24-hour stream. Great job by DJ and Pete.
He and Pete Blackburn did a 24-hour stream. And then he came on at 10 o'clock at night to do two different segments all about where he was carrying us on the NHL, quite frankly. Because, he just has encyclopedic knowledge of what's going on day to day across all the teams in the NHL and sits down with these guys all the time. And he kind of suggested that we heard those early reports that came out. Hey, Brad Marchand is going to be going to the West. Hey, Brad Marchand, it's going to take, we were talking about it before the show, it's going to take, what were you saying the return was going to be?
One plus plus is what Sarah Valley said yesterday morning.
Yeah, so there were all these reports coming out, and was there a situation where the Bruins were trying to work with Marchand and he's saying, I don't want to go there, and I don't want to go there, and I don't want to go there. and it comes down to the wire, and essentially they need to get something done. They need to move off Marchand, and they need to get something done. And Florida was the destination that made sense for both
sides.
Well,
so that's the issue, though, and I'm pretty sure Sweeney even said, like, they treated it as a full no-trade clause almost, mm-hmm. or at least that was the understanding, is they were going with Brad and, like, helping him every step of the way. Like, is this a place you'd want to go? Is this when, in reality, he only had an 8-team no-trade clause? Like, they could have dealt him to any team they wanted to,
right.
And yet they went through it basically like it was a full no trade and allowed Brad to basically pick and choose. And I think that was, like, I understand it. I get it. A guy who's been here his entire career and you want to do right by him.
And sounds like he didn't want to get traded.
Yeah, it sounds like, and Sweeney even said, Brian, I think you have this. Sweeney even said yesterday Brad wanted to play here.
He's identified this is a place he wants to play.
Yeah, he wanted to play in Boston, and yet he just wasn't. The Bruins knew they needed to move on. And so he pick and chose exactly where he wanted to go. And that's why the return was so bad. I get it. But I don't know. For a guy who was having such a great day up until that point, I thought Sweeney,
oh, I thought you meant Martian. I was why? What? He was having like a nice
Don
little day
Sweeney.
In Charlestown.
Sweeney was back.
He's at the grocery store. He's having brunch. And then he finds out he's going to Florida.
I was so convinced the Sweeneyus was back from a couple years ago when they were the best regular season team in all of hockey, in hockey history. I was convinced the Sweeneyus was back. He was going to rake in all these picks, these young prospects,
okay, but
completely refill. And yet then he gets a second round pick for Brad Marchand.
This is what makes it or breaks a GM, though, is what we're going through right now. And we'll see how much time Sweeney has left.
But don't you think he should have been a little bit more cold-hearted?
With Marchand? The comparison that I had to make, just because I have a broken basketball brain, is I think about, it's not the same because it's one player versus two and one who's been here even longer compared to Garnett. But I think about the Paul Pierce-Kevin Garnett trade.
Sure.
And how that basically, yeah, and Danny Ainge really cemented his legacy by taking the big three era into now we're going to have these incredible picks and have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and he'll forever be the guy who's basically has one foot in one era of championships and one foot in another area of championships just as a GM.
Yeah.
Now, is this going to be a situation where you take the picks and you grow the prospects that you got back into being the next core of the Bruins? Feels like kind of a stretch right now, doesn't it? I mean, really, what are they building around besides
Pasta, Swayman, McAvoy are your core?
And Hampus Lindholm, you would throw him in there?
No, I would just consider those three. That's your big three. One at every level, Pasta, McAvoy, and Swayman.
Yeah, I mean, that's very few guys to be looking at what you're going to do with.
It is, but at the same time, like they bring in some young guys. One of the things Don Sweeney has done remarkably well is find middling talent and elevate them. Guys like Pavel Zacha, and then he allows them to kind of flourish. Even Morgan Geeky, you're seeing him do that this year. Probably your most tradable asset, I noticed, was interesting, didn't get traded yesterday, was Morgan Geeky. We can go back to that. But I think overall, like, you see him go and get Yuki Haru from Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy who, just like Linus Olmark, is probably struggling just because he's in Buffalo. And when he comes to Boston, in a better system, just overall better environment, is going to take a step forward. And that's talent that he just finds those guys all over the place. And I think that's one of the things he excels at. You're right. He doesn't necessarily excel at drafting, so I don't know exactly how those draft picks are going to pan out. But he's finding those guys. He elevates them. And then he kind of starts to build the rest around him. And I think knowing you have Pasternak, who's a 100-point-a-season scorer and is the cornerstone of your offense, Charlie McAvoy, I know he's injured right now, but will be the cornerstone of your defense, and then Jeremy Swayman, who you locked into a big contract, is going to be the cornerstone in net, I think is good.
It's not enough, though.
Yeah, but it's a good start. Like,
I think we should recognize that they are pretty far behind the starting line in terms of being a team that would be sniffing around the playoffs next year, and that this is going to be a serious rebuild that they're walking into unless there's some real magic execution in the offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, outside of, I mean, prior to these last two contracts, right, like the Elias Lindholm contract and the Nikita Zadorov contract, I don't necessarily love. They haven't turned out great so far. Zadorov's been mediocre at best, but he's a walking two-minute miner, and then Elias Lindholm has been a relative disappointment. I would think those two contracts, and then like the David Backes contract forever ago, were really his only terrible contracts, and so I have faith that Don Sweeney's going to go out in free agency and acquire, or in the offseason, and acquire more talent to, you know, play around Pastrnak and McAvoy and Swayman.
And I know we got to hit trending, but on the other side, I do think that we should really determine whether we think that it's going to be Sweeney who is the person who's making these moves in the offseason. Because, I was kind of surprised to hear last night, like, there is this push and pull between people who look at all the moves that were executed right up until the trade deadline and saying, well, Sweeney had to have the go-ahead to do this. Like, he had to have the assurances that if he does this big sale, he's going to be the guy on the other side making the moves. But I think that there were some out there who are reading the tea leaves and saying, well, it's done for him. Like, his
goose is cooked. Oh, see, I disagree. If he was done, he would have done everything he can to buy pieces and make a push at the playoffs. Like, that's how I look at it, because he knows that if he makes the playoffs, the Jacobs are never going to get rid of him.
Right.
So if he thought that he was just done, he wouldn't sell all these pieces off. He would have done the complete opposite. He would have sold everything he had to acquire pieces in order to push for the playoffs. And, like, so there is no doubt in my mind. Don Sweeney's here, and he's here for at least a few more years.
Do you think that that's the right move?
What, to have sold off pieces?
No. We all agree.
Oh, to keep Don
Selling
Sweeney.
Off the pieces is the right move.
Yeah.
Is Don Sweeney the right guy to be looking at the draft?
No.
I understand what you're saying about free agents.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I think he's good at that side of it. I don't think anybody would argue that the free agent deals that he signs and the trades that he makes are very finely executed, and he has good judgment there.
Yeah.
Does he have the judgment to rebuild through the draft? I don't think so. And especially over the last couple of years when they've been trading away all these picks, because the guys like Brad Marchand have been forcing them to reinvest in the team time after time again. Like, I think that they're very out of practice. And when they've shown, like, with Lysel, who can't get out of Providence.
Yep. Yeah, but Lorai was a good pick. Like,
what they've shown over the last couple of years are not, like, he's not somebody you named as a cornerstone of the team.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Don Sweeney's the right guy for the job. I think
that you should be looking at what they're going to be able to do rebuilding through the draft with a lot of trepidation. I don't think he's earned the goodwill to look at that and say, I feel really confident that he's going to be picking the right guys for the next generation of these Bruins.
Yeah, but I give him so much leeway for the fact that he was able to build some of the best teams in the league over from, you know, 2018 to, what, 2024, 2023?
Through, like, what, though?
Everything. Like, I mean, McAvoy was a draft pick, mm-hmm. right? Like, there weren't a lot of them.
That's all I'm saying.
But at the same time, they were also trading a lot away. They weren't making a ton of them.
If I'm a Bruins fan, I'm just looking at the situation and saying, what is it that's going to give us the leg up in these drafts? Like, what do we do well in these drafts that makes me confident that, not next year maybe, but the year after that, I'm going to be looking at somebody else who is a McAvoy type, somebody else who is a Marchand guy who kind of comes out of left field, to mix my sports metaphors, and all of a sudden you go, wow, what a cult hero. Not saying, like, all of a sudden some young kid is going to spring you into the NFL into Stanley Cup. You can tell it's a very early for
me. Oh yeah, it's all
into
good.
Stanley Cup playoff glory. Like, I'm not saying that, but it's been a while, other than McAvoy,
yep,
since you've had a guy like that you actually got through the draft.
617-779-7937 this morning. If you want to weigh in on the Bruins trade deadline, is Don Sweeney the right guy to rebuild the Bruins? We see the calls already. We'll get to those next. We'll continue with this conversation. But right now, Brian is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Bruins were in full sell mode yesterday at the NHL trade deadline as the Bruins shipped off Charlie Coyle, Brandon Carlo, and Captain Brad Marchand for a plethora of draft picks and young players. Coyle was sent to Colorado, Brandon Carlo to the Maple Leafs, and of course, Brad Marchand was sent to the division rival Florida Panthers. Bruins are in Tampa Bay today, to take on the Lightning with puck drop at 3 o'clock. It is the first time since 2002 that the Bruins roster will be without Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, or Zdeno Chara. In the NFL, a big trade occurred last night as the Seattle Seahawks shipped quarterback Geno Smith Smith to the Las Vegas Raiders in exchange for a third-round draft pick. Smith will reunite with former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll. Celtics play host to LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers today at the TD Garden with tip-off scheduled for 8:30. Lakers are riding an 8-game win streak, and according to our very own Justin Turpin, the Celtics injury report is as follows. Sam Hauser, he's questionable with a right ankle. Jrue Holiday, also questionable with a right-hand mallet finger. Kristaps Porzingis has a non-COVID-related illness. He is also questionable. And in other NBA news, Knicks point guard Jalen Brunson is expected to miss 2 weeks after suffering an ankle sprain in Thursday night's loss to the Lakers. And Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic made history last night, becoming the first player in NBA history with 30 or more points, 20 or more rebounds, and 20 more assists in a single game. I'm Brian Frisoco. That's what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com. More Shine, Mego, and you at 617-779-7937. That's coming up after this.
Now, the PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
She made a coaching change, captain been traded, two guys have been traded. What do you want the identity of this team to be moving forward? Do you think it has to change from what it's been for the franchise's history for the last recent 20 years or so?
I mean, we thought we had a very good team a few years ago, and, you know, we didn't get it done. If I could duplicate that team and take another run and learn from what we did not right in the key moments, I'd do it. Like, they could play any style game. They stuck up for each other. They scored better than what this team was capable of this year, in my opinion, and how we executed. Power play's part of that. We had two units that sort of pushed each other.
Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI on this Saturday post-Bruins trade deadline. Brad Marchand, now a member of the Florida Panthers. Brandon Carlo, now a Toronto Maple Leaf. Charlie Coyle, now a member of the Colorado Avalanche. Trent Frederick in Edmonton. So many moves yesterday and the days leading up to the deadline now. And the Bruins are kind of stocked up with a lot of younger potential talent as well as draft picks. But before the break, Mego, we were discussing the idea that Don Sweeney may or may not be the right guy for the job to rebuild the Boston Bruins. And I would just like to... Let's take a look back. I think Don Sweeney gets maligned for that one draft with DeBrusk, Sinishin, and Zboril constantly. And I think a lot of people reference that all the time when they say Don Sweeney can't draft. So since 2015, in that draft, which, by the way, they also got Brandon Carlo in the second round, who started 617 games for you. Since then... The 14th pick, they got Charlie McAvoy in 2016. They also got Trent Frederick in that draft. And they drafted Ryan Lindgren, who never played here, but like has been a successful defenseman elsewhere in the NHL. So three good draft picks in 2016. 2017, your 18th overall pick, Urho Vaakanainen, never panned out. He's kind of been like in and out with a couple teams, plays a little bit, not really. He was on like the Finnish national team in the Four Nations tournament, but hasn't really been that good. But then in that draft, you also hit on Jeremy Swayman in the fourth round. 2018, your earliest pick was 57 overall, second round. Didn't really hit on much. You got Jacob Lauko, who's now back with the Bruins in the third round. So maybe that was not a good draft. 2019, also not great. Johnny Beecher in the first round, fourth liner for you. That's about it so far. Nothing else has panned out. 2020, Mason Lowry looks like a pretty good defenseman, has a lot of potential, not necessarily a cornerstone quite yet. There's hope there. Like, he looks like a good player. 2021, the Fabian Lysell draft has not panned out, has not been able to make his way into the NHL. Totally fair. Not a great draft overall. 2022, Matthew Patra was your first pick in the second round. You didn't have a first-round pick again that year. Picked him 54 overall. Looks like he could be, again, another promising young player. Not necessarily a cornerstone, but a guy you have hope for. And then 23 and 24 are a lot of picks that have yet to come out of the AHL. Don't know a whole lot about what's going on with them, so we haven't really seen any of them. So I think that Don Sweeney's inability to draft is a little overrated. I think...
Sorry, I didn't have my mic on. I feel like he just made the case, Chime.
Every year he finds at least a player almost every year.
He found a couple depth pieces or one or two guys who might be developing into depth pieces.
Well, I mean,
like, do you think Mason Lori, you said it yourself, and
Mason Lori is going to be a top six D for
and
you for
Patra
the next.
Patra are going to be cornerstones to the next era of Bruins.
I don't know yet. Like, I think they're still developing. I think Lori can be. I think Lori more likely than Patra is what I would say. But I think Patra's a really good hockey player. Like, I mean, he's been playing on the second line for you a bunch. I think the kid can play hockey. He just needs to grow a little bit. He's still, what, 21, 22 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, I'm not so, saying, I'm what I'm saying is
yeah.
You haven't really had the opportunity, as you illustrated there, to draft in a super high position because
yeah.
you've been trading them away because you've
and
been
you've
trying.
And you've been so good.
You've been trying to invest in the team that's actually playing and hopefully contending the last couple years. But since you were drafting in a position where it mattered, you haven't really hit on anybody of note.
But when were they really drafting in a position that mattered? Like, I mean, all of their first round picks were at the end of the first round. They haven't had a top 10 first round pick in, still scrolling, 2011 was mm-hmm. the last time, 9 overall, they drafted Dougie Hamilton. That was the last time you even had a pick in the top 10. The only top 15 pick you had was the Zboril, DeBrusk, Sinishin, and then Charlie McAvoy.
Can I make a football comparison for you?
Please.
Do you know who I feel like the Bruins have been, except that they always get their coaches fired?
Who?
From a football comparison, from an NFL comparison, mm-hmm. what team would you say?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
But, so...
You're this team
that has
They
weren't the best team
success.
In regular season history for an entire
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and then like, what happened?
Okay, yeah, they lost the play, but that's not the GM's fault. He orchestrated the greatest regular
that's
season roster.
That's not the GM's fault, and that's why I'm in favor of what he just did in terms of moving on.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the roster has given you all the reason to continue to try to invest, but at some point it's like, you get the coach fired, you move on from another coach. At some point you have to look at it and go, the core here has aged out. If you're looking at Brad Marchand as the last guy, the mm-hmm. last vestige of that 2011 Stanley Cup team, and you just got to move on. And like, I think we all agree that's the right move. I just don't feel the need to stand here or sit here and defend the draft record and be like, we're wrongly maligning the drafts. They haven't really given me anything to give me confidence that they're going to be able to rebuild this through drafting over the next couple seasons.
So I think if anybody needs to be fired, it's actually Cam Neely before Don Sweeney. I feel like in just looking at the totality of what the Bruins have done over the last like 10 years, last offseason was very different. A very different approach than all of the other past off seasons. And I think that was driven largely by Cam Neely. I think what happened was Don Sweeney had built this fast, athletic team that was the best regular season team in hockey history, and then they lost in the playoffs to the Florida Panthers because the Panthers were just scrappier, and in Cam's probably opinion, and this is just my thoughts on what I think Cam is thinking, is that they were more physical. And that's why this offseason, you go get a guy like Nikita Zadorov, you get a guy like Elias Lindholm, and they're more physical. They're going to allow you to be a little bit more of a physical hockey team when that's not who your identity was. Mm-hmm. It's not what Don Sweeney had built.
Well, you said that their identity was being this high-flying, super athletic.
Yeah, and that's what they had got. They had gotten to that point. That's when they were at their best. They could score in so many different ways. They had more than one line of actual scoring. Like that's what Don Sweeney had like longed for outside of the perfection line. They finally had it, and then they lose in the playoffs, and then everything gets changed. And I think a lot of that was driven by Cam Neely. I don't blame Don Sweeney for that, because every time he makes a move that, okay, maybe isn't necessarily a draft pick, it seems to be successful.
But again, they're like, we're not talking about the drafts in that case. You're talking about changing the identity of the team through trades and free agency.
But I think you can do a lot of, like, I think you can do both, right? Like, if you
yeah.
hit on a good draft pick here and there, which I think Don Sweeney is capable of doing, and then you mix in good free agent signings and good trades, I think you can be a contending team again.
Take
soon.
Out the free agents and the trades.
Mm-hmm.
From a drafting perspective, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level of Sweeney executing the next two drafts?
5.7.
Okay. Shime.
But yeah.
Why are you bending over backwards to defend this man's draft?
But that's not the only GM's job.
I know, but it's an important part of a rebuild, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but maybe you need better scouts in the building.
If we're looking at the returns
then.
And we're twisting ourselves into pretzels saying, oh my God, like they might not, they have a conditional, it might not even be a first round pick coming back for Brad Marchand because he's old and injured at this point and had a bunch of teams that he didn't want to go to. Like, I think we should talk about how they're going to be able to execute those picks.
Yeah. And maybe that's right, but maybe they need to improve their scouting department. Maybe those people have been around too
long. And that's why I'm asking, like, what is going to be different when you're sitting in this scenario where you're actually finally doing the rebuild?
Yeah.
And you're, how are you going to execute these drafts differently? If you're keeping Sweeney here, which might be the right move, especially because of what he's able to do from a judgment perspective of guys who are already in the league.
Yep.
But what about the young guys who you're trying to bring up?
Yeah, I also think that they need to be more committed to their coach. If I could give Don Sweeney one criticism. Just coach? No, not this coach.
Okay.
I don't think Joe Sacco is the coach of the future.
Let's be specific then.
I mean, the coaches you actually hire, your full-time coaches, not your interim ones, I think you need to be more committed to those guys. Because Bruce Cassidy came in, was a really good hockey coach, won like 66% of his games, gets canned because the players don't like getting yelled at, and immediately wins a cup with the Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Montgomery was in here. Greatest regular season hockey team ever. Bounce to the first round of the playoffs. Then you have another season where you make the playoffs, win around,
and get
bounced.
And by the way, gets immediately picked up once you fire him.
5 days. The fastest any coach has ever been picked up in any league after being fired was Jim Montgomery. 5 days is all it took, and it was picked up by the St. Louis Blues. Like, that to me indicates really good hockey coach. And so maybe, Don, and now that you've eliminated a large part of the old guard and are starting a new core of players, you can make sure that your coach is actually in power. Do not allow the players to dictate to you or to Cam or to the Jacobs or anyone that we need a new coach. Well, it's time to get a different voice in here.
So I do think then from the angle of when you're looking at the core that you're moving forward with, do you look at Swayman, Pasta. I love McAvoy.
Yeah.
I have all the confidence in the world in him.
Same.
Swayman's a guy that just went through a brutal negotiation with this organization. Like, does he have the warm and fuzzies after going through what he went through with splitting time with Omar, having coaches blown out year after year?
Yeah, but they chose him, right? They gave him the contract. They picked him. They traded Omar. I think that matters. I think that should go a long way. I think this year is just a down year for Swayman, and he will rebound next year and going forward. I believe that. And I believe Pastrnak will never wear the C, and isn't that...
You don't think he'll ever wear the C?
No, I do not believe Pastrnak will ever wear the C. I think there's a reason why they're not giving the C away to anybody right now. I don't think David Pastrnak is that kind
of person. I don't think they're going to name a captain for a while.
I agree.
What do you think is wrong with Pasta that he won't get to be captain?
I don't think he is... And this is me gleaning from things that I've seen and just the way that I have seen this team operate. He does not seem like a vocal leader, or even like the Zdeno Chara type leader where I lead by example. Pasta seems to be the kind of guy you bring it. He is wildly talented. He is without a doubt the most talented player the Bruins have had in a very long time. I just don't believe that he, character-wise, is the guy that will lead this team in the future. If it's anybody that's on the team right now, in my opinion, it's Charlie McAvoy.
Is it because you feel that Pasta isn't the personality type to hold others accountable?
Correct.
Because he's like happy-go-lucky Pasta?
Yep, he wants to show up and score goals. Like, he wants to go out, play hockey, score points. That's what David Pastrnak wants to do, in my opinion. And I think Charlie McAvoy would be a person that would set a tone and really kind of and hold you accountable. Be the Willie McGinnis shower check type. Like, get in there and get in your grill and not be afraid of you. And not be afraid to kind of lay down some law. Like, to me, that's how it feels.
Yeah, with Pasta, I think that goes even further into a conversation of the best player maybe not being the leader of your team, and that's never a place that you love having your team be.
Yeah. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield, wants to talk about the Bruins. Go ahead, Sorja.
Hey, what's going on today? How are we?
Good. How are you?
Really quick here, Sean. This is why they call you the professor, because I think you did a really good job of outweighing the pros and cons. And like you said, like, everyone kind of goes back to the 2015 draft and doesn't look at things in totality. Having said that, if you look at things in totality, if this team is going to have to build through the draft, I don't think Don Sweeney is the guy moving forward. And my biggest criticism of Don Sweeney was if you were going to trade Marchand, why didn't you trade him after the Four Nation when there was more momentum? When you trade him this week with the injury, you lose all the leverage. And I just think that the Bruins, the last thing I'll say is, the one thing I hated when Sweeney said the retool, this feels like a full-on rebuild, and we have to rip the Band-Aid off. You know what I mean?
Thanks for the call, Sorgi.
It's not a retool.
No, it's
I thought
not.
That was
not.
Such a goofy answer.
I agree.
It was such a goofy answer, and I think it's a good thing to point out. Like, it's a rebuild. Call it what it is.
Yep.
He seemed unprepared to give that answer the way that he probably should have. But it is interesting, like, the idea of waiting until it really comes down to the wire, to the 11th hour, to trade Brad Marchand. And right after the Four Nations tournament, when McAvoy is injured and you kind of know the direction that the team is going to have to be moving in, like, why not start getting to work on that then?
So I believe that they weren't ready to admit that they were not going to make the playoffs. Like, they weren't real enough with themselves following the McAvoy injury that they weren't going to make the playoffs. They wanted to know for like 100% certainty that they couldn't.
So you
make
don't
the
think that they
year.
Were waiting around to see like if Marchand and Pasternak were going to dinner together?
No, I don't think so. I think there was a clear winner yesterday in Rich Keefe, but you know,
are we not going to get to that fun stuff?
Oh,
I mean, Keefe is doing victory laps on social media.
He should have been jumping up and down doing jumping jacks yesterday, because he was the one who originally reported that Brad Marchand and David Pasternak had an issue playing on the line
together.
And
I'm not even saying that like he's right about that. I think we will never get that story proven or disproven. There's no way to prove or disprove that story, which is what makes it a difficult report.
I love it.
Not like it's not true. It's just how do you prove it
unless somebody comes out in a book.
6 months from now, Pasternak comes out and says, yeah, like Marchand and I were in a really bad place and blah, 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 which probably will never happen.
Correct. Yeah, because I believe they do have a lot of respect for each other at the end of the day. They played together for years. And so there's probably a level of respect there that neither of them would ever say that candidly, at least not for 10, 15, 20 years.
However, Andrew Raycroft did have a strong prediction. How long ago was that?
This was
2 months ago?
January 23rd, I believe, on the Jones and Keefe program, Andrew Raycroft said this.
How much does this team need to consider the option of trading somebody like Brad Marchand?
Zero. You're not trading Brad Marchand. Hopefully get, you got to work the deadline. You can't trade nine guys for, you know, the rights to 7, 18-year-old kids that are playing major junior in Canada. It just doesn't work like that.
Actually, Raycroft, that's exactly what they did. They went and they got a bunch of 20-year-olds.
They didn't trade nine.
Oh, you're right. They traded like five guys, and they went and got a bunch of 20-year-olds plus Casey Mittelstadt, who probably won't be on the roster long-term anyways.
Was there something that changed dramatically between that report, if you want to call it, from Andrew Raycroft, or that opinion, and where we sat yesterday?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think there was a major change. I just think Don Sweeney and Cam Neely accepted the fact that they had to make this decision. I think that was the major change, I guess, if you want to consider it a change, is that they were finally able to self-realize and be like, you know what? This is not going anywhere. We need to restart. We need to hit the reset button. We need to gut this thing, strip it down to the studs, and start from scratch, because what we're doing isn't working.
Do you think now, after sitting here and seeing this all play out, that there was something between Pasta and Marchand?
Absolutely. Especially,
this is enough to tell you that there was some drama there?
I think so, especially because, and I feel like, to me, it feels like they want you to believe that they worked so hard with Brad Marchand to make sure he went where he wanted to go. To me, it felt like you just wanted to, you didn't have to trade him. You could have just kept him and then re-signed him at the end of the year.
Oh, okay. I guess
or he retires.
You could have re-signed him, but if you're trying to get a return back and not have another Krejci situation where you're just letting someone go for nothing.
Captain.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing, right? Patrice Bergeron didn't go anywhere. He stayed because he was your captain and he meant a lot to you.
Who's more beloved? Marchand or Bergeron?
Bergeron. I don't even think it's close.
Exactly. So then don't make the comparison.
But no, my point is that he was a guy here for a very long time, and he wore the C. He was reportedly or supposedly important to the organization. but by only getting a second round pick and still dealing him indicated to me he wasn't quite as important as people may have led you to believe. Or there was an issue with Brad Marchand and, I don't know, maybe another player on the team that would have led them to move on from Brad earlier than they would have intended to.
Yeah, maybe there was. Like, I don't have any scoops.
This is totally me speculating. There is no scoopage here. There's none of that. It is just total and utter speculation. I'm just putting together puzzle pieces. That's all.
I think it probably had a lot to do with that he's 37 years old. He was very injured at this point.
Sure.
They know they're not making the playoffs. He has a month left on his deal. They're like, holy crap, we are so far apart from what his agent is asking for and what we think he's worth. We might as well just scrap this thing and try to get something back because we got to move on from this era. This is not going anywhere, and we can't keep running it back this way.
And that's a very likely possibility, and that's probably the most likely probability, to be completely honest. But I just feel like if he mattered that much to you, you would have kept him throughout the rest of the season and tried to work out a contract with him. You gave him the C for a reason, so he must mean something to you. But to me, it indicates that it wasn't quite as much as someone.
Where he's
have
going,
believe.
Though, lot of sand to pound in Florida.
That's true. I don't want you got to go pound sand. Jay in North Carolina wants to hit on the Bruins real quick. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, really. As I say, I didn't cry when Tinkerbell died, and I didn't think Bambi was a real story. But I honestly think the Bruins may have a chance to get they won't win the cup, but they may get to the playoffs.
What
this year?
I watched the Carolina game. They outplayed the Carolina Hurricane.
All right, Jay, thanks for the call. Maybe Jay started early this morning. I don't know. Maybe he's tailgating something.
Did he watch a game from 2 years ago, maybe?
No, so the game against Carolina wasn't a bad game. It was a bad finish. It wasn't a bad game. But
I don't
then
know
they,
how you watch that and you go, this team is headed for glory.
Well, also, after that game, they then traded a bunch of guys that would have helped them get to the playoffs. But, yeah, no, I don't think the Bruins will be in the playoffs. They'll be picking in the top half of the draft this year for the first time in quite a while. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original. You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's a sunny Saturday morning. A little cold, but we're getting there. Mego, we had a couple days this week that reached almost 60 degrees. It was amazing.
Dude, no, it wasn't. We had like 2 hours that reached 55 degrees.
Yeah, and I went out and I took the dog for like a 2-mile walk. It was amazing.
I was working. I was mad. I was really excited because I was like, it's going to be nice out today. We're going to feel a little spring. And then by the time I got outside, it was cold again.
Yeah, and then yesterday was a windstorm.
It was horrible.
It was a nightmare.
I hate that wind.
Oh, God.
I can't do it.
It's the worst thing. New England wind is the worst thing on the planet because it cuts right through you.
Well, and it also scares me when I park my car on the street because living in the city, you have all the parking signs
that look
like they're about to dangle off the metal post and then fly and slice through your car.
Like Final Destination.
Yeah, I mean, those signs were shaking yesterday. It makes me nervous. Yeah,
even like the street lights are swaying and stuff.
Yeah,
I know. That.
It looks like nothing is really like bolted to the ground.
No.
It makes me very nervous on days like that.
Ed in Westminster wants to talk about the Bruins. What's up, Ed?
Coaching. Are they going to make another coaching change?
Yes.
Yes, Ed, absolutely.
Is there anyone in the pipeline, or is that going to be just something they do at the end of the year?
Thanks for the call, Ed. I think they need to do an extensive search. Like, they just need to – I don't think there's anybody in the Bruins system currently that they're just like, yeah, we want to promote. If there would have been, it would have been Joe Sacco. To me, I don't think Sacco's the right guy for the job, unfortunately. It's nothing against him. He was put in kind of a crappy spot, and this team has not responded.
This feels very anti-NHL, or just not the way they usually operate. Mm-hmm. Would you have any of the players in the room for the coaching search?
In the current room?
Yeah.
No.
Of those three or four guys.
No.
You wouldn't take any input?
I mean, like, if I have candidates, I might call Charlie McAvoy and be like, hey, what do you think about this guy? Or call David Pastrnak and be like, hey, you got any...
Pastrnak's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, offensive system. I'm in.
Yeah.
Pasta. And, look, Maybe, but like it's definitely not at the beginning. Like I don't want you know Jeremy Swayman sitting next to me in the interviews. Yeah, like it's you know if I'm trying to decide between two or three candidates, I may ask one of my you know cornerstone players, hey, what are your thoughts on X and X guy or whatever? But outside of that, like I think this has to be
okay. I'm just asking.
Yeah,
you know, you've empowered these players, and I guess a lot of them are gone now. But you've empowered a lot of these players with coaching. Opinions over the last couple seasons.
Yeah,
so when you're looking for your coach of the future, are you having McAvoy in the room?
I also think Don Sweeney, the two coaches he has picked, were both really good coaches. Cassidy and Jim Montgomery, excellent coaches, excellent hockey coaches. One got you to a Stanley Cup, one should have got you to Stanley Cup, instead only just got you the best regular season in hockey and then failed in the playoffs. So like, I think they were both really good coaches. So I think Sweeney has the ability, just like with those middling players that he elevates and finds in free agency and in trades, I think he'll also be able to find a coach that will help elevate this team as well, because I think that's one of his strengths. Johnny Cakes in Saugus wants to talk about the Bruins. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, Scheimer? One quick thing before my Bruins take. Mego, you got away with Scheim. I think you and Lauren need to get together. She needs to pick your brain because you just put him right in shape.
What do you mean?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, man. Well, Scheim, when you were coming at her and defending Sweeney, she's like, you want to defend Sweeney? But if Coco ever did that to you, you and Coco would have went on for 7 minutes at each other. She shut you right down. You were like, okay.
I think I battled back pretty good.
Yeah, no, you're all right. You held your own, Sean. I'm just giving you some grief.
Okay,
I love you, buddy. Anyways, the Bruins, of course, have to trade Brad Marchand in Maria's voice to a team that's going to come back and knock us out of the playoffs. If ever we made it, we're not going to this year, but it's just that would be the way it would go. And the other guys, I mean, can we get one player, Minter? That's all we're getting out of it. I mean, come on, man. And Sweeney has not done anything with these draft picks over the year. You just went through 7 years, man. This is crazy.
All right, Johnny, thanks for the call.
Do you think they should have gotten more back for the roster?
No. Like, the whole point of selling off is that you're not going to get a whole... Like, other teams aren't going to give you players that would help them get to the Stanley Cup
right.
Because that's what they're trying to accomplish. They give you draft picks and prospects because they're not currently affecting the NHL roster. Like, that's the whole point of being a seller at the deadline, is that you acquire prospects and draft picks. And that's
what
they
did. May I ask you something? So you're a Bruins fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm not. I think everybody knows
okay.
that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like the Bruins, fine, whatever. Yep. I'm not like diehard crying my eyes out because Brad Marchand's gone. How much does it actually bother you that he's in Florida and going to be teammates with Tkachuk and it's going to be those guys against everybody?
I hate the Panthers. It doesn't bother me. I actually think it's funny.
You hate the Panthers and it doesn't bother you that your cult hero.
Well, he's not my cult hero.
Well,
if you had traded Patrice Bergeron to the Florida Panthers, I would have lost
He's
my
like
effing
golden
mind.
Golden boy.
Yeah, I would have lost my mind.
Brad Marchand is like the middle child who's like a problem child who everybody else hates and you love him because everybody hates him.
So I was talking to a buddy of mine who's like the biggest hockey fan I know. And as soon as the trades went through, Carlo and Marchand got dealt in the division. He said to me, I don't care because that means you're getting the highest return possible. And I agree. Like, I think, especially with the Carlo trade, you were getting the maximum return for Brandon Carlo by trading him to the Toronto Maple Leafs because they paid the in-division tax and they desperately needed a defenseman. And then you saw the Marchand return, and I was pissed because I'm like, that's not the max return you could have gotten for Brad Marchand, especially trading in the division. I also, like, as much as I hate the Tkachuks, the Four Nations, made me kind of like them a little bit more. And so I'm actually kind of excited, especially knowing the Bruins aren't going to be in the playoffs and they're not going to spoil my good time in the playoffs. I'm excited to see Marchand and Tkachuk play on the same line in the playoffs.
Are you going to go so far as to want Florida to win because of Marchand? Not because of the returns that you're going to get
because it
makes it conditional first?
No, I don't want them to win. I just want to see Marchand and Tkachuk play on a line together because I think that'd be fun. Outside of that, I want nothing to do with the Florida Panthers. I desperately... If he had gotten traded to the Colorado Avalanche, I would have been like, I'm an Avs fan for the entire playoffs.
Okay, everybody's been there before, so it's not like it's making you uncomfortable or a territory you haven't been.
Yeah.
like cheering for somebody who used to love on the Bruins to go to the Avalanche.
I know. I'm excited for Charlie Coyle. He's going to have a lot of fun on that Colorado Avalanche team. That team's really good. And he gets to play behind Nathan McKinnon.
It's different when it's the team that knocked you out of the playoffs the last 2 years, and everybody around here hated Tkachuk before the Four Nations.
Yeah.
And now they want to think of him as the face of the league and the great American hero and whatever. Mm. But does anyone have a problem, by the way, with it seems like Marchand put his hand up for the Panthers and said, that's one team I'll go to?
Well, no, I don't think that's surprising, though. Like, we mentioned DJ and Pete earlier with their What Chaos podcast. They interviewed Marchand, I want to say, like a month or so ago.
Yeah, he said he thought he wasn't getting traded.
Yeah, he thought he wasn't getting traded, but he also, like, really complimented the Florida Panthers. And, like, it was evident that he respected how good and talented they were. And so I'm not shocked at all that if Marchand was looking at it like, all right, I'm getting traded no matter what. I have to pick a team. I get to pick a team that I think will win a Stanley Cup, and I'm going to pick the Florida Panthers. Like, that doesn't shock me. I don't think that it's he desperately wanted to go to Florida.
No.
I think he looked at it as Sweeney told me I'm getting dealt. Let me pick the best team I know to win a Stanley Cup, and it's the Florida Panthers. And I think he's right. He's probably right. Like, if you're looking at it in the East, if you want to stay on the East Coast, Florida Panthers are your best bet to make the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I just wonder if, I know that fans were kind of like 50-50 in a show poll that you guys did a couple days ago for Greg Hill's show, in terms of, it's like fine to trade Marchand. We got to move on. Like, that's fine. But to move on to the Panthers and to know that he had some agency in it, I feel like there's got to be some fans out there that it rubs them the wrong way.
617.
Even if they won't admit it, because they're like, whatever my team does is the best.
Yeah, we're not delusional. 617, maybe sometimes. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Another team that might have taken inspiration from the Boston Bruins, not in the NHL, but in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks. They dealt their starting quarterback.
They're drunk.
They're rebuilding. We're going to get into that, and then the Patriots offseason coming up on the next hour of Mego and Shime here on WEEI.
Mego, you got away with Shime. I think you and Lauren need to get together. She needs to pick your brain because you just put him right in shape.